The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The bodybuilding world will never be the same.
Get ready for MD Radio with your host, Sean Ray. We'll take you inside the world of health and fitness with a focus on bodybuilding. Now, here's your host, Sean Ray.
All right, welcome everybody back to another episode of MD Radio. After 1 week off, I am back. It is Monday, October the 20th. A lot has transpired in the last couple of weeks in the world of bodybuilding, but we are in the home stretch of the 2014 bodybuilding season. Of course, we're headed straight into the NPC National Championships taking place out there in Miami, Florida. Another Steve Carroll production will be going down on the third weekend of November. And, of course, we're going to round out the month of November the final Men's Professional Bodybuilding Championships and NBC contest up in Santa Barbara with none other than the incredible Lou Ferrigno. And my guest today on the radio show is going to help us navigate what that's going to actually look like. It's a holiday weekend up in Santa Barbara, someplace I've never been. Even though I live in Southern California, I'm anxiously looking forward to heading out there and supporting my good friend Lou Ferrigno and his family. And I want to welcome to the show Lou Ferrigno, the second, or is it Lou Ferrigno Jr.?
Lou Ferrigno 2.0.
2.0. Lightweight, baby. Big Lou, what's going on, man? You were born, actually, the year I was graduating high school, which actually makes me relatively old. And in 1992, I had the distinct pleasure of standing on stage with your father in Helsinki, Finland. And I want to ask you, were you there? Did I happen to see you at that show out in Helsinki, Finland?
I was there, Sean, and I was about 7 years old, and I was so out of whack because we had been traveling all over the world up to that point that I had the audacity to go to a restaurant in Helsinki, Finland, and order the nachos. And if for anyone who's been to Helsinki, Finland, it's not Mexico.
So, yeah, you don't go there for the Mexican food.
yeah, you don't go there for the fajitas, for the mole, nothing. So that was one thing that resonated with me, aside from the fact that you and Dorian and my father looked absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that was a great year in 1992. As a matter of fact, it was one of the few years where you didn't have a defending Mr. Olympia winner. Actually, well, you had Lee Haney retired in 1991. So going into 1992, I mean, Dorian was second place in 91. It was wide open for anyone at that stage to win that championship, and it wouldn't be for another 6 or so years before that would happen again out in New York when Ronnie Coleman won his first one. But your dad chose a very good opportunity to come back with the vacancy of the Mr. Olympia. However, he did jump right into the lion's den with a bunch of Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame bodybuilders, including Flex Wheeler, Kevin Lavrone, myself, Vince Taylor, who went on to win 5 Masters championships. Mohamed Benaziza at the time was an enormous, tiny little powerhouse at all of 5'3", maybe 180 pounds. He actually beat Dorian Yates in 1990 to win the NPC, or the Night of Champions, as it was called, the NOC. And your dad, after a 17-year layoff and 3 kids, man, I mean, and a successful television and acting career, jumped into the fray. And I just remember, dude, it was like for every bodybuilder, I think, has a first. And, you know, watching your dad on TV and seeing him in and around the gym, and to think I was training for the Mr. Olympia, knowing I was going to be competing against your dad, was giving me an added motivation because this is like an iconic figure coming back. And granted, he chose a sport where a lot of younger guys were at their, you know, coming into their prime, and it was a tough comeback for him being 6'5", 6'6", whatever. He did respectably well. How did you incorporate your dad getting ready for a bodybuilding show? Because he did his bodybuilding long before you were born.
Yeah, if I remember right, I think he placed 12th Yeah. And you guys, I think he definitely, his size was undeniable. I mean, the guy was just massive. And when he started training, I mean, he put thighs on quick. It was just there, and he'd always been big for the Hulk. But he definitely underestimated you guys. And I think LeBroni came second. And Labrada was in that field, and it was just, it was impressive. And I think he definitely underestimated the talent that was in the lineup. But growing up, I mean, I just remember kind of like waves of memories, and then slowly I remember more and more food was available to us when I was younger. And my mom would be pulling two carts from in the supermarket and two carts at Costco. And I was like, wow, this isn't how it used to be. But it was an exciting time.
You came up with your brother Brent and your sister Shauna. And so did you ever have the aspirations to want to follow in your dad's footsteps? Did that bug ever bite you?
Not to be a bodybuilder, because he is legendary, you know. I played football my whole life, and he had aspirations in the bodybuilding world. But for me, it was never really a priority to become a bodybuilder. But although with the amount of work that you guys do and the amount of work that he put in, it was awe-inspiring to see it transpire.
Well, one thing we do know is that the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, because we know that you and your brother and your sister all got into Frigno Fit and became personal trainers and kind of a family-run outfit over there. And now you're in the bodybuilding promotion business with your dad and, of course, Chris Maness from up in where's he from? He's from, is it Utah or?
Tahoe,
that's right. And now we're heading into the first ever Frigno Legacy. And this is just another feather in your cap, because, I mean, you're well accomplished as well. You're an actor, you're a comedian, and an athlete, and now you're helping out on the bodybuilding side, as well as, you know, you're doing commercials and modeling and stuff. How is this different from, like, what you saw for yourself? Because this is really your first foray into the bodybuilding promotion business.
It is, Sean, and I really, me personally, I think I like the business aspect of bodybuilding, not only dealing with, I get to eat what I want up until game time, which is very nice. But I like dealing with the personalities. I like, I dealt with my dad during a very tumultuous period. So when I do deal with competitors, I know exactly how to work with them. I know what their interests are. I know what they would like and have things done. And I think that fits very well for this show, because I think just with the context what I've been growing up with and how the show is going to come to be, it's just a natural fit. And for this to be a competitor show, we know exactly, I know from my own experience of being around people who are competing from a different angle, from a child's perspective, of knowing what works, what doesn't, and how to produce the most effective production, essentially.
Right. Well, I mean, you're a product of the 80s. You were born the year that Lee Haney won his first Mr. Olympia championship, and then you witnessed the return of the Incredible Hulk in Helsinki, Finland. But he went on to compete for a few more years, so you got a little bit more taste of what it was like, because I think your dad also, he competed in several Masters Olympias, I believe, in 1994. He was there as well, and I think his last show, I think, was in 95. But in watching that metamorphosis of him doing the comeback and then now getting involved, and we all know what Arnold Schwarzenegger's done with the Arnold Classic out there, and have all any promoter worth their weight in salt has kind of taken a little bit of what Arnold's been able to do out in Columbus, Ohio. And now Lou wants to bring some of that back here to the West Coast. It's a challenge. It's an enormous challenge to do on the West Coast considering the time of the year, but nothing's impossible, and that's what I respect about your dad, is that he does take on these challenges that seem monumentous at best, and then he comes out like smelling like aces. So how do we make sure that this show, the last Saturday, Friday and Saturday in November, is a success, and what's it going to entail?
Well, Sean, we see the challenge of it being around that time as actually an opportunity for us. We have a ton of international competitors who, either way from Thanksgiving, don't know the difference. And also with the people who want to capture the weekend aspect, it's a destination spot in Santa Barbara. It's gorgeous. The weather's beautiful. And you know what? Bottom line, when my dad wants to do something, there is no one and no thing that can stand in his way. So he's been talking about this for the last 10 years at least, about putting on a show. Santa Barbara came into the picture because it's just a natural fit, as he does a lot of search and rescue stuff with Santa Barbara and Ventura County Police Department and Sheriff's Department. And he just wanted to have the perfect time, and it kind of just came about. And we're really excited because at that time of the year, it's going to be absolutely beautiful. Arnold has done a fantastic job in Columbus, considering the weather, considering the time of year. into make this a, into making the Arnold Classic a global event. And honestly, you were right in saying that people, you know, you want to model something after a working project, something that actually works and is shown to be successful. So absolutely, but we're doing it a different way. We have a West Coast feel, West Coast vibe, and we're really capturing on the greatness and the legendary aspect of the golden era, and really and appreciating these physiques and the competitors in the way that they should.
Well, I mean, this is a huge event because not only is it a professional event, but we also, it's a national qualifier on the NPC side. We have an amateur event going on, but we also have a bunch of other events going on so that it's a lot more inclusive of just athletes in general, not to mention, I could imagine all the other bodybuilders coming out of the woodworks to support what your dad's doing out there. I know I'm coming out there, and there's some calls into some other legendary athletes to come out and support the cause. What else can we look forward to besides just bodybuilding that weekend?
Well, that we this year we're sticking close to our grassroots. We're having the bodybuilding show. There's a men's physique, women's physique, and women's bikini. We're going to start there because we want to have a fantastic bodybuilding show before we build into anything else. And we have a lot in store for the years coming up of the events and kind of personalities we're going to bring on board. But this year in particular, aside from the actual show, we have a Legends Q&A. So we're bringing back all my dad's buddies from back in the day. You, Sean, are one of them, hopefully, if you have time for us.
I'll be there.
We got Samir Benute, Linda Murray confirmed, Flex should be up there. I mean, it's going to be interesting with a couple other people that we've yet to hear from. And also, there's going to be a nice size expo. It's going to be within the beautiful Granada Theater. It's going to be all-inclusive into the theater, which is a $65 million renovated theater. We're super excited about it, but we're really testing the waters first year and making it the best possible bodybuilding show specific to bodybuilding and fitness than we can. And from there, we'll see where it goes.
No doubt. And so while you're, what's life like now with respect to your dad? Has he kind of mellowed out in terms of being a bodybuilder? Does he still every once in a while get the bug? I mean, some people, it just never leaves them. I look at pictures of Robbie Robinson, and I just pop into Gold's Gym. He's still there like when I first went there back in 1983. Robbie's still doing it. He doesn't want to compete, but what's the level of fitness of Pops right now?
He is, I mean, he eats like a saint. He can't even tell me what his last donut tasted like because he just eats. He's immaculate. I'm at a point now where I'm getting ready. I'm doing a lot more TV stuff because I'm leaning out. I'm getting thin, but really lean. And he just, you know, he has to remind me that his abs are there. And he has to remind me at the dinner table at the most awkward time to rip his shirt off and hit a side chest and a rear double bi. You know, it's just he never wastes a second to capitalize on his physique. However, Father Time does always win and get the best of us. He is really giving it a run for its money. I'll tell you.
Right on. Well, tell me a little bit of, give me the particulars so people that are at home listening can put this on their calendar. It's Thanksgiving weekend. Give me a quick synopsis of the order of events or the schedule of events.
We're starting early Friday, the 28th of November, the Friday after. It's also Black Friday, but hey, I think that this is going to be worth your while. Friday 28th is going to be the ISBD Pro Show, first ever for Ignite Legacy, and Saturday is going to be 29th, the NPC National Qualifying Event, all at the Granada Theater, all on State Street, all at a place where you can shop, you can actually bring your family, have a great time, lunch, dinners, everything. So it's a really exciting time, and we are pumped up about it.
All right, where can people go to get the bodybuilding and competition information? What website?
Ferrigno Legacy, www.ferrignolegacy.com. You can find all your registration needs, tanning, makeup, everything there. Buy tickets, come on out, and anything else. And Facebook also, and Twitter, Instagram, we're fully functional on social media. Please post your pics and be excited about it because we are.
What if somebody wants to sponsor the event? Do they get that information at the website too?
Yes, they can, absolutely. It should be info@ferrignolegacy.com, but you can check it out on our sponsor page. We are all hemmed up at this point. It's at a point now where we're turning people down, which is a sad thing, but
yes.
Next year we're going to allow for a lot more sponsors and partners so we can actually make this a bigger, more productive, awesome event worldwide, baby.
All right, real quick, what the venue? Everybody keeps talking about this venue, this multi-million-dollar venue that it's held at. I mean, I don't want to gloss over that, but I think the athletes are going to be in for a treat when they go to this venue. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's the Granada Theater. We actually had to postpone a year because I said, we need this venue, period.
Yeah.
There's no other venue on the coast that I would rather have than the same Granada Theater. It's an illustrious opera house in Santa Barbara, right on State Street. I mean, you walk outside and they're shopping for miles. Beautiful women, beautiful people. The beach is right there. It has some of the most prolific talents from all over the world. Not even close to a bodybuilding show, but we're actually going to make it very appropriate for what we're doing, because that's the world class caliber of what the show we want to do, and also of what these competitors deserve. So
that's
we're
awesome,
excited.
Man. I'm excited to come down and support it, and hopefully we'll get you back on the show right when we get closer to it, coming up on the NPC National Championships. This competition is taking place November the 28th and 29th. It's a two-day event out in Santa Barbara. Make sure you check it out and come back and visit us again as we get a little bit closer to the show, Lou. I'm a pleasure to be on board. I'm definitely looking forward to the seminar and catching up with your dad and see how things have been going for him.
Can't wait, Sean. Thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to it.
Congratulations on the cover shot over there at Flex.
All right, brother. Thanks, man.
All right, that's Lou Ferrigno Jr. We'll take our first commercial break. Come right back and talk about the upcoming NPC National Championships taking place on November 21st and 22nd right there in Miami, Florida. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
This is Marcus Haley of The Common, and you're listening to MD Radio with Sugar Sean Ray.
Focus, strength, recovery, results. Introducing Maximize, brought to you by iForce Nutrition. Tired of the same old caffeine buzz? Are you ready to step into a new world of power, energy, and intensity? Maximize has set a new standard in the supplement world, delivering tunnel vision focus, cell swelling volumization, and unstoppable endurance. Don't settle for the current crop of underclothes products. It's time to join the next generation with Maximize, the only pre-workout supplement you need for extreme gains in strength and performance. Don't just train. Maximize your workouts. Visit www.iforcenutrition.com for details.
Over the years, iForce Nutrition has brought you some of the most powerful muscle-building products ever seen in the bodybuilding world. Now, after years of research and development, we are proud to introduce our first launch into the world of thermogenic fat loss with Adipoxil. Adipoxil isn't your run-of-the-mill fat burner. Adipoxil is new and rewriting the definition of fat loss. Adipoxil's competition strength formula is so powerful, in one cycle, you can go from soft to shredded. When being lean isn't enough, get shredded with Adipoxil. For more information, visit iForceNutrition.com.
With over 300 locations and 2 million members worldwide, Powerhouse Gym has been helping people achieve their goals since 1975. Whether you're visiting the gym for the first time or you're a seasoned professional, you'll see why Powerhouse Gym is the strongest name in fitness. Visit PowerhouseGym.com to get a free guest pass to a location closest to you or to inquire about opening your own Powerhouse Gym location. At Powerhouse Gym, you're not just a number, you're family.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you've ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like some banned substances, but rest assured, there's nothing illegal in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB living legend Flex Wheeler. And now you too can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Hey, this is Seth Ferrosi, IFBB Pro, and you're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
One of the guys that gives a lot of credit is Steve Blackman from Muscular Development. I mean, those guys have done an extraordinary job for years and years and years to promote health, to promote fitness, to promote strength, to promote bodybuilding, powerlifting, weightlifting, and all of those kind of things. So the contributions they made is gigantic, and I hail them for that.
Everyone knows that beef is king. When it comes to building quality muscle mass, now you can have all the anabolic power of beef with Carnivore. Beef protein isolate from Muscle Mads, packed with 20 times the creatine of steak and loaded with extra BCAAs. Carnivore is more concentrated than whey. Beef up with Carnivore, the most sought-after muscle-building protein ever created. For more information, visit MuscleMadsRx.com.
This is IFBB Pro, Jason Hull. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
I'm the truth and these other boys phony.
All right, we are talking bodybuilding. And when we speak about bodybuilding, I'd be remiss if we were not mentioning where it kind of all began on the National Physique Committee level. And this is a little history lesson for those that are listening right now. But when we talk about the bodybuilding NPC championships, we got to go back to the first ever winner of the NPC championships. And of course, it seems like we cannot get around the name Lee Haney, because Lee Haney was a teenage national champion. He was a junior national champion, and he was the first ever NPC overall national champion dating back to 1982. And that's where essentially things all came together, because prior to that we had the Mr. America competition on the AAU side of things. And then the NPC came along with President Jim Mannion, and that's where we basically crowned Lee Haney the first ever NPC national champion. And from that time till this, it is a platform for the amateur bodybuilders to turn professional and enter into the ranks of the International Federation of Bodybuilding, where the athletes have the opportunity to compete for prize money, the Mr. Olympia Championships, and, of course, the Arnold Classic, which started back in 1989, as well as travel the world, because the International Federation of Bodybuilding is global, and that was founded by Ben Weider, Joe's brother, and those two helped plant seeds all around the globe and made it the International Federation of Bodybuilding. And some of the best bodybuilders in the world have come up through the ranks post-1982 through the NPC. Just a few people that come to mind would be familiar names of Bob Parris. Of course, we know four-time Mr. Olympia Jay Cutler won the heavyweight division, didn't win the overall, but he won his class and got his pro card. Mike Christian, Kevin Lavroni, a four-time first runner-up in the Mr. Olympia, two-time Arnold Classic winner, one of the history's winningest bodybuilders, is Kevin Lavroni back there. Won that in 1991. And more recently, a Victor Martinez, who's still competing, along with Tony Freeman, Evan Santapani, of course, Ed, second to none, won that bad boy. More recently, Brian Yerski won the championships, and one of the up-and-comers, big Justin Compton, won his class, and he has now won the Europa Pro Championships this past April, and is now getting ready for his first ever Arnold Classic. So a lot of people have come up through the NPC, along with myself. I'd be remiss if I left myself out. I was the fifth champion back in 1987, 3 years out of high school. I won the overall, still the youngest to win the overall NPC championships. The youngest overall winner to get a pro card would have been Dallas McCarver. We're still waiting for Big Dallas and his pro debut. I imagine it's going to have to take place in 2015. We're looking forward to him. He won the NPC or the IFBB North America Championships. We're looking for big things from Dallas McCarver, but more importantly, the next big thing may be coming by way of Miami. Now, that doesn't mean that athlete is from Miami, because the Nationals are all the athletes from across the nation that have qualified to go there to win this to compete in this competition, and you have to win in order to do that, or place, I think, top two. This is a contest taking place November the 20th. It's going to be a long weekend. These numbers have now gotten upwards of 900 athletes, and we're going to have bodybuilding, we're going to have figure bikini, and we're also going to have the physique championships as well. definitely for you to get information, check out the nationalbodybuilding.com, and you'll get that information. This is going to be a presentation by GNC Stores, Live Well. They're presenting the championships with Steve Carroll. Of course, Pam Betts will be assisting right there as well. And they're going to be handing out a lot of pro cards. I mean, this is crazy how many pro cards are going to be coming out. But one of the few places where you're going to actually see women's bodybuilding still existing. So if you don't want to miss that competition, Team MD will be on the ground. I do know, and I'm reading right here, one of the few times I actually read, but you're going to find all the information with deadlines to get your information in by October the 20th. This is what they're asking for. They're saying the deadline for the entry forms from the athletes, that is October the 29th. That's on a Wednesday. And then actually things start getting really crazy in cost. It says that they will be accepted if they're postmarked by November the 6th. So I personally would not take any chances. There will be absolutely no entries from any athlete accepted after November the 6th. Make sure you get all your stuff in there. And if you're planning on qualifying, make sure you do that by October the 29th, it says. I know that I'm going to be emceeing on Halloween weekend, on November the 1st, right there at the Las Vegas Championships for Stevie Carr, state chairman out of Nevada. He's putting on the Las Vegas Championships November the 1st at Cashman Theater, and that's going to be the Ageless Forever Glenn Lerner Las Vegas Championships. It is a national qualifier at Cashman Theater, and for all the information, you definitely want to check out the Las Vegas Classic. I'm trying to find the website here. We got to go to steviecarproductions.com at Yahoo. So here we are, Steve K, NPC Vegas at Yahoo.com if you want to send information on that, or visit the website, which is NPCLasVegasClassic.com. You know you're getting old when you got to push the magnifying glass. But yeah, these national shows qualify you to be able to move on into the pro ranks. So there's going to be some people going on to win. One of the guys that actually won that competition and turned pro was another a nemesis that came up through the ranks that caused Lee Haney a whole lot of fits. We're going to be bringing him up after the commercial break here at MD Radio. A lot of people are talking, and we'll just go ahead and get into this now since I'm doing a small monologue. A lot of people are talking about what the hell happened to the Saturday showing of KNBC's Mr. Olympia. And I got to tell you, I'm stumped too. I turned my DVR on, and I came home, and I looked at my recording, and I got nothing. I got like an auto show, and we got to find out from Robin Chang, one of the promoters of the Mr. Olympia, what happened with the programming there. Some people are trying to blame Kai Greene. You can't blame Kai Greene for them not airing the damn Mr. Olympia, but we're going to get to the bottom of that. I'm going to do some investigative reporting and find out why that didn't actually air. Another thing going on the muscular development boards, we've got to give up some mad props to Issei Obaid. He flew over and won a competition and actually is now qualified for next year's Mr. Olympia. Remember, Issei had some issues with his mother and his family. I want to say that was at the Mr. Olympia. He had some issues and wasn't going to be able to stick around and do some shows, so he went home to take care of his mom. And he did nothing but go out and won a contest. Now, some people are complaining that nobody was at the show. Some people are saying that it was too far away. They didn't have any competitors. Whenever there's an IFBB pro contest, it only takes two people to have a winner and a loser. You know, only one person is going to be genuinely happy, and that's going to be the winner. Unfortunately, not a lot of guys stuck around and hung on to their diets to go and compete, because remember, it was a long run. Following the Mr. Olympia, there was a marathon sprint around the globe to compete in these shows, from the Olympia to Spain. They went from Spain over to Dubai, from Dubai over to Prague. The guys were globetrotting, trying to either win or to qualify or just do the business of professional bodybuilding. And Issei Obaid stays on his diet and goes over. I believe this one was over in China. I'm not sure. But I mean, look at this thing. It's Chinese, dude. I can't read it. It looks like it's Chinese. Anyways, IFBB Pro Bodybuilding Championships Asia is what they called it. And Issa Bey decides, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and stay on my diet. I'm going to hold out. And he goes over there, and he what does he do? He wins the contest. He beats Ronnie Rockel from Germany in second place, and that guy named Dalibor Hajic was third. Daniel Toth, also a German, was fourth, and Chris Wong was fifth. Some people were complaining that he beat nobody, but you can only win if you compete. Congratulations, Issa Obeid. We will see you at the 2015 Mr. Olympia Championships. You are the pro champion of the Asia Bodybuilding Championships held there in China. But with that, we are going to take a commercial break. There's a whole lot of stuff coming up. I do know that we've got the Europa Championships coming up this weekend in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm not sure exactly if it's Phoenix. I'm going to double check that city when I come back from the break. But I do know it's in Arizona. And the winner, I do know, talking with Eric Hillman, said that the champion of the Europa shows, they all automatically qualify for the upcoming Arnold Classic. It is at the Phoenix Convention Center, October 26th and 25th in Phoenix, Arizona, the Europa Championships. We're going to take a commercial break. We're going to come back with a Hall of Fame bodybuilder and a whole lot going on in the industry of the world of professional bodybuilding right after this commercial break here at MD Radio.
This is Lonnie Tieper from Iron Man Magazine, the greatest of all time. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Arginine and AAKG are dead.
Is over. MHP introduces NO-Bomb, the world's first clinically tested nitric oxide maximizing formula. Need to experience real workouts and pumps with NO-Bomb.
Anyone who understands the supplement market knows that fat burners as a class of products are virtually dead. Why? Because none of these products have delivered the kind of real results people have been looking for. I'm not kidding when I tell you, that's all over now. Because mitotropin is so powerful and so profoundly different than anything else on the market, we couldn't even call it a fat burner for fear it would be associated with this useless category. That's how good it is. Welcome to the world of mitotropin.
This is IFBB Pro Mike Valentino. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Run! Oh my God! Business as usual, man!
For the best workout of your life, use Nox Pump, the strongest pre-workout powder in bodybuilding. Get Nox Pump at health food stores everywhere.
This is Jay Cutler, and you listen to Team MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Shop the new MD Supplement Superstore, where you can find more of your favorite brands and products, upgraded customer service, and engaging cutting-edge research, along with the industry's most competitive prices.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
I'm the truth and these other boys phony. It's a movie.
All right, we're talking professional bodybuilding here on MD Radio today. And before we went to the commercial break, I was letting you guys know that this weekend on October 25th and 26th at the Phoenix Convention Center, there is some bodybuilding championships going on. There's a $40,000 in prize money at stake, and there is a $10,000 Arizona Got Talent competition. They've got a ton of stuff going on. I know Ed and Betty Parizo worked tirelessly to put these types of events on. There's an NPC amateur show, pro men's competition, a 212-pound pro men championship, pro fitness and pro figure. They've got pro bikini, pro men's, women, and physique. There's $30,000 Europa Throwdown championship going on, a $10,000 obstacle course, wrestling, karate, taekwondo, judo, powerlifting, grappling, arm wrestling, strongman, everything that the Parizos can fit into one weekend. They have done that. They love doing that. They do it out there in Dallas, Texas every year. They were formerly doing it out in Connecticut, and now they've come to Phoenix, Arizona. Make sure you check that out. That'll be going down this weekend. And without further ado, I want to bring to the MD Radio, back to MD Radio, Hall of Fame bodybuilder, Lifetime Achievement Award recipient from the Arnold Classic, supplement giant owner and CEO Rich Gaspari by way of New Jersey and Florida, and probably has a weekend vacation pad out in Paris, France someplace. Rich, welcome back to MD Radio.
Great to be back, Sean.
Hey, man, you're one of those success stories that only few people can hope to one day live out. You started out as a bodybuilder. If I'm not mistaken, you didn't have the best genetics. And we're going back to the 80s now, when you were a little kid. I think I was only a couple years behind you. But in coming up out there in Jersey, what was the name of the town you were from out there in Jersey?
I was from Edison, New Jersey. Yeah, that's the town where Thomas Edison invented the light bulb.
That's right. You got light out there first, and you got your start at what gym?
It was actually a gym in Highland Park called Health and Strength. It was a small little basement gym when bodybuilding was not really that popular when I was training, and it was one of those hardcore gyms, and I loved it. That's where I learned to squat, deadlift, and bench press, and do all the heavy lifts, you know, that made my, you know, my basic frame and added size.
Yeah, it's crazy because, like, you're totally out there on the East Coast. You had to deal with the elements and as far as the cold weather and all that. So who were the guys on the East Coast that were, like, right in front of you? Who were you looking at coming up in the industry?
Well, when I competed, you know, first of all, from Jersey, one of the bodybuilders that was here was John Kemper. And, of course, he was, you know, he was older, but he was one of the national competitors that I looked up to. Some of the other Jersey guys, there wasn't many Jersey guys, you know, that I knew in bodybuilding. One thing that was different is most of the guys came from, like, up north, northern Jersey, and it's New York, and I came more, you know, central and South Jersey, so there wasn't many guys in the South Jersey area. There was Franco Santariello was around. He was a couple years after me. Nick Labatola was a bodybuilder, competed, you know, that came from Kemper's gym that, you know, got into the Nationals but didn't go that far. I was the guy that, you know, was able to get all the way to the Olympia stage, you know, from New Jersey back then. And now there's tons of bodybuilders that come from New Jersey.
Yeah, now, 1983, Bob Paris and Roy Liedlmeyer, they were having it out on stage. Were you actually in that heavyweight division out here in San Jose?
I came in fifth place in that show, top five, my first try in the Nationals as a heavyweight. It was in San Jose. I was just, you know, Jersey guy, just won the Junior Nationals.
Yep.
I was about 215, you know, going into that show. But, you know, those guys were much taller, bigger. I had to still have to fix my structure because I had huge legs then and needed to build up my shoulders. So, you know, from 83 is when I came fifth in that show. I moved to L.A., worked at a Gold's Gym. Ed Connors hired me, and I was out there to then compete as a light heavyweight, built, you know, my symmetry better, where I brought my legs down, brought my shoulders up, brought my back up, and that year in 84 is when I won the Nationals.
Yeah, that's bananas because that's also the year I graduated high school, and that's also the year that Lee Haney won his first Olympia. Mind you, 1983... Lee Haney was taking third behind Samir Banu and Muhammad McAway, who stood all of 5'3", maybe 175 pounds at best. But Lee would go on in 1984 to ruin many dreams as far as the Sandow Trophy. But, Rich, before you were done getting your three first runner-ups, you would walk away with the first ever Arnold Classic in 1989. You would win a slew of titles on those tours and battle it out with Labrada. I remember it vividly. And then you would go on to get hurt, and you would injure your pec, and then you would have to kind of contemplate and rebuild yourself, reestablish who you were going to be, what you were going to do, created the Gaspari line of nutrition, I think you start out with some friends or someone took a chance on you and invested in you, as far as I remember. And then you blew Gaspar Nutrition up, and you were able to start giving back and sponsoring the Arnold Classic and sponsoring the Olympia and having sponsored and helped support and launch other bodybuilders' careers the way that Joe Weider helped you and I. And so at the pinnacle for you, did you ever see yourself getting that high up where, you know, when we were coming up, we had Weider and you had Beverly International, and we didn't have any bodybuilders with a supplement line. As a matter of fact, it's almost like you were one of the first guys out there with a legitimate company that was able to support and sponsor athletes.
Well, I mean, I came up right after Labrada. Labrada started his line a couple of years before me, and I, you know, decided to start a line. And actually, I had no investors, which was really hard. I did this with $70,000 of my own money and started building up the line and slowly just built it up more and more.
Yeah.
You know, to make it successful. And you know, it ended up, you know, I stayed focused like I did in bodybuilding and continued to grow the company. And then I felt like I should give back to the sport that was so good to me. And, you know, I sponsor the big shows, sponsor athletes. I was probably the first bodybuilder to start sponsoring athletes because I felt that I wanted to give those guys the same opportunity that I had when Weider sponsored me. So I felt it was very important to do that, you know, when I was able to, you know, financially I was able to do that.
Right, and you know, we had the 50th anniversary of the Mr. Olympia. You're not one to miss these types of reunions. I remember standing on stage at the Arnold Classic when we had our 20-year, again when we had our 25-year, and they have the 50th anniversary, and they brought a bunch of guys out. I'm clearly looking for you, and no one saw you at the Olympia. What happened?
Well, I was definitely there at the Olympia. I didn't have this year because of certain things with my company that I needed to restructure.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a booth at the Olympia, but I did have meeting rooms. I met with my customers to explain to them what was going on, and it just happened that they didn't realize I was there because of my head was like so ingrained in what was going on with the company.
Right.
I didn't really tell anybody I was there, so you know, the guys from the Olympia just didn't know I was there. Jim Manny didn't know I was there, but I was there.
Okay.
And,
I know a lot of guys were like, "Where's Gaspar?" And it's almost like if you're not there in the way that you normally are, then they think that you're just not there anymore. And I know you and I talked about your restructuring your company and planning on some bigger opportunities coming up in 2015. And we know that James Flex Lewis had left your company earlier. Now that was an amicable parting of ways, and that had nothing to do with the beginning of the restructuring of Gaspar Nutrition. How hard is it when you work with these athletes, you give them an opportunity? It almost feels like it's a divorce when someone leaves, or is it something where this athlete goes on and it creates an opportunity for you to help another athlete? Because clearly these contracts, they're not lifetime contracts, are they, when you give these contracts out?
No, I mean, you know, I saw the potential in Flex Lewis when he first won the British, you know, championships, when he turned pro.
Right.
That this kid, I think, is going to be really good. And I felt like I had the eye to get him. And, you know, he grew, and I saw him grow right up to where he won his first Olympia, you know, where I had him right to the first Olympia. And then, like anything, you know, he wanted to grow and, you know, grow with a, you know, in other ways. And it had nothing to do with, you know, restructuring the company.
Right.
It just, we had an amicable, you know, parting of the ways. And he went on his way, and I still respect him. He became and is a great bodybuilder. So, you know, I wish him all the luck in what he's been able to achieve, and now being, you know, the three-time 212 champions, it's a great thing for him.
Yeah, there's no doubt you're part and partially responsible for him getting his feet wet. But again, this is one of those things, like LeBron James leaves Cleveland. Everybody hates LeBron because he left. He goes over to Miami, which wasn't necessarily greener pastures as far as money, but he did win a few championships over there. And guess what? Now he's back in Cleveland again, and he's, you know, they're welcoming him with open arms. And here you got Peyton Manning, who leaves Indianapolis. People say he's done. He goes over to Denver, takes him to the Super Bowl. You know, he breaks Brett Favre's record. As it relates to bodybuilding, I mean, we know that there's peaks and there's valleys, right? I mean, there's highs and there's lows. When you have to restructure a company the way that yours is, I mean, it's gotten so big, and you got so many people working and doing so many different things. Is it important to take a step back and kind of reevaluate the business so you can make sure that everything is being handled properly? I mean, because you still got a ton of employees working for you.
I still have a bunch of employees. I'm not, you know, what happened to the company is, like you said, there's ups and downs. And then you really have to look at what's going on and reassessing what you need to do to come back stronger. And that's something, you know, this has happened to the best businessmen like Donald Trump.
Sure.
And Richard Branson. So I'm looking at this and I'm looking at an opportunity to come back stronger than ever, you know, bringing on an investor into the company so that we are in a much stronger position to be able to do the things that I've always wanted to be able to do. Look at the mistakes that were done by the company and fix those mistakes moving forward so that we can be a much better brand. And that's what I'm doing right now to make the company a much better brand.
I like the fact that you mentioned Richard Branson and Donald Trump. I mean, you couldn't mention two more successful individuals that both had a lot of issues, and those issues, they made them better because they became better businessmen because of those issues. And I imagine the bigger the business, the more possibility for things to kind of go wrong. And when you slow down and you stop the bleeding, so to speak, and by that I mean you take yourself out of the game, like everyone expected you to be at the Olympia. You're not at the Olympia, suddenly you're a failure. But restructuring is probably the best medicine when you're talking about a company as big as yours. How many countries was Gaspar Nutrition in?
Shoot, we're in over 100 countries. We still have a huge demand. It's a viable brand that, you know, there's still orders coming in for product. And it's funny. It's just they're all there. And it's really good is seeing these people still support and want to see the brand more successful. So by fixing the problems, we will make this company even stronger and bigger, you know, for the future.
Right. Now, the supplement market is no walk in the park. I mean, how easy is it for people to bring frivolous lawsuits against you because you have a competitive type product or a competitive ingredient or maybe competitive branding? I mean, it seems like every time I turn around, there's someone going after someone else. I'm working with Shred Supplements and we're trying to get into, for example, Australia. And you don't know what you're up against until you try to actually get products in. I know you realize, but you can't even bring in anything unless it's a powder form into Australia or it's like a class 3 drug.
Yeah, it's Australia is difficult. You have to have it either to bypass the laws, you have it in a powder form, or you get a TGA approved, which means that it has to follow all the FDA, TGA is the FDA of Australia, to be exactly compliant to the Australian rules. So, yes, it's not an easy thing to get into Australia. It is a much harder market, but you can be able to bypass. It was very successful in Australia, still very successful, you know, the right partners. And like I said, we continue to grow in those areas. So, like I said, by fixing the problems that the company has taken, because as you said, when you become the problems actually become even bigger, you know.
Yeah.
So you have to figure what you need to do to fix these issues quickly, and you have to pay attention to them, and you always have to keep your eye on the ball, and these are things that now that I'm able to do, and to get that company, like I said, for 2015, you know, we're going to be a much healthier, much better company, you know, with new products. We're going to be going at the Arnold's, you know, so we have a lot of good things that we're going to do.
Well, yeah, it's good to know that you're able to weather the storm. You know, I was with a company, Viotech Nutritionals, we put on the Sean Ray Classic out in Colorado, and I got a good taste of what you've lived over the past 20 years of your life doing this business. And, you know, we came on very hot and heavy and very strong, and we're supporting everybody and we're sponsoring everybody. When we started to bleed a little bit, the guys that were running the infrastructure didn't do what you did. They didn't step back and stop the bleeding by stopping and taking a look and a reevaluation. Instead, they kept pouring money out in areas that they shouldn't have, and in a couple of years, Viotech was out of business. So it's good to see that you have the foresight to take a time out, restructure, get your investors right, and then come back in 2015 and pick up stronger and build better than ever. So, moving into 2015, what can we expect from Rich Gaspar? I mean, because you're like a renaissance man. There's no more awards for you to win. You're not coming out of retirement anytime soon. So What does the next 50 years for Rich Gaspari look like? What's the next big challenge for you?
Well, again, I want to show, you know, I want to show myself and the world that Gaspari, again, will be on top if you become a successful product, a company, sports nutrition. We have new products that I'm developing right now that I'm excited about bringing onto the market. I want to see other avenues to bring the business that may not particularly be in sports nutrition, but in other sectors of the supplement industry. So we're going to look for me, you know, getting into those markets. I enjoy doing this. I have a passion for it, and I love, you know, I love business. And like when I competed in bodybuilding, I loved being a bodybuilder. And now I still continue to love doing what I do when it comes to, you know, helping people. I feel like I've done this, and it was because of my passion I was successful. So I want to continue doing that. And, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to go. I like to go for the next 10 years, you know, but, you know, Weider went on till, what was it, he's the 80s?
Right.
Weider.
So yeah, crazy.
Who knows? Well, I don't know if I'm going to go that long, but I definitely, I mean, he motivated me. You got to, you know, you and I got to know Joe Weider, and he was an amazing man, very motivating. He's one of the reasons why I got into, you know, the supplement industry. When I first started, he was the guy that was there saying, Rich, you're going to do this, and you're going to be super successful. I'm very proud of you. And, you know, he was just a great man when it came to being a businessman. And, you know, I want to be half the man that he was, you know, and the things that he did for the industry.
Yeah, there's no question Joe left some pretty big footprints for all of us to follow in a million different categories, because he was a Renaissance man. He literally did a little bit of everything as it relates to health and fitness, and, of course, was able to launch the careers of a lot of us. So trying to follow somebody like that is a monumental task. You were at the Olympia. I didn't get a chance to catch up with you. I know you had meetings. But so what did you think about that Olympia? You heard the results. Of course, Phil Heath is now a four-time Mr. Olympia champion, and what do you think about that? I mean, is this a guy that can go on to like tie Ronnie Coleman and Lee Haney?
That's a good question. I mean, I definitely felt that Phil won that fair and square. I mean, I've seen years that, I mean, actually other shows that I felt that Kai actually edged him out and that he shouldn't have won, but this show I felt that, you know, Phil definitely took on the Olympian and beat, you know, beat Kai. Are there other bodybuilders? I mean, I don't know right now. Right now, he is the king on top, and he's able to pull it out and, you know, pull it through. But you never know. Some of the, you know, guys that you just don't expect, all of a sudden, you know, someone like a Romney finally,
yeah,
you know, gets himself together and pulls it through. I mean, I don't know. I mean, right now it is Phil, but I don't know if he can do nine times. That's a big task, and I never believed Lee Haney can be beaten. And when Ronnie did it in such a short time, it was, I mean, Ronnie's our age, and he was able to do it. I never expected that to happen so quickly to, you know, tie, you know, Lee Haney's record. So you never know.
Yeah, I think it has to do probably with the injury factor. If Phil can stay healthy, it may be quite, but first he's got to stay hungry. And, you know, nobody was more hungry than yourself. And we know, you know, Haney's dedication. I mean, he did it. He got there so young. You know, he retired at 31, but he got there so young and was so hungry. There's so much money involved now. We got to make sure that Phil has the desire, first of all, and then he can, you know, manage to stay injury free. What made Lee Haney so incredible is that we threw Hall of Famers at Lee Haney. Yourself, Labrada, myself, Dorian Yates. I mean, we threw everybody we could. It's Samir Banu who won the title. Phil is not going up against a bunch of Hall of Fame, future Hall of Famers. You know, I don't think it's as deep in terms of the challengers. Kai Greene may find his way in there one day, but after you get past Kai Greene, it's very hard-pressed to find a guy that's, you know, an out-and-out Hall of Fame-type bodybuilder. And Lee Haney, you know, he did it at a different time. Even Ronnie Coleman against Flex Wheeler and Kevin Lavrone and, you know, Nasser El Sembadi. I mean, these guys had some tough challengers, and I don't think the field is quite as deep as Phil Heath. But let me ask you this going forward. You won the national championships. We have the nationals coming up shortly, 4 weeks from now. How important, if you're a bodybuilder getting ready for that show, how much can that show change your life if you're a national champion?
Well, it changed my life, because when I won the Nationals, you know, back then, I mean, I don't know if it was the same with you, you know, you had to then you needed to win the Nationals to then win the World Championships and then turn pro. That's the way it was back in, you know, when I competed. But winning that national title is huge. You win that national title, you are looked at as the upcoming, you know, pro. That can, you know, can change, you know, bodybuilding. I do think it's much harder. Like, there was guys like you and I that, you know, won as an amateur, and then a year or two later, we're on the Olympia stage, which that was uncalled for today. That's not happening too often. Right. But it is an important show. It's the biggest show to win. It's got a huge lineup of people. I mean, when I look at the Nationals, how many competitors there are in that show, to me, it's an amazing, you know, to win that show is an amazing task to be noticed in winning that show.
Well, no question. It puts your name on the record books, and there's very few firsts that we have. And you're only a couple years older than me, but yet, you know, winning the national title, being a three-time Olympia runner-up, the first ever Arnold Classic champion, the Italian champion. What other championships did you win out there? The Italian, the German?
I won the Italian, German. I won four of those.
I remember you won the World Championships here in L.A., right?
Yeah, I won the L.A. Championship. I won the French Grand Prix.
Crazy.
What else? I can't remember all of them. I can't remember.
Well, you're not going to win anything. You're not going to win any more awards. Now you're going to receive awards. You already got one of the highest awards you can from Arnold Schwarzenegger, who also gave one to his good friend Sly Stallone, and, of course, Betty and Joe Weider, and more recently Lou Ferrigno. So, I mean, you're in some very good company with receiving awards, and we'll leave some of those awards for the younger guys coming up, Rich, but I want to definitely catch up with you. Seeing you launch your next project there in Columbus, Ohio, hopefully in March, and now the Arnold's gone global over in Australia for the first time next year, and, of course, they're headed to South Africa next year, and they're already out in Brazil and Madrid doing some big things. We want to see you guys come back stronger and bigger than ever supporting the sport of bodybuilding.
It's going to be great. I you were talking earlier about Phoenix. I will be in Phoenix there, you know, with a booth. So we're already starting the process of, you know, showing people we're here and coming back.
All right, man. Well, thanks for all you do for professional bodybuilding and all the athletes out there. Changing lives one person at a time with Gaspar Nutrition. Thanks for calling in, Rich.
Thank you, Sean. Great.
All right, that's going to do it for us here at MD Radio from the Hall of Famer Rich Gaspari and, of course, Lou Ferrigno Jr. Tune in next week. We'll hopefully have the voice of professional bodybuilding, Bob Ciccarillo, back here with results from this weekend's Europa Pro Championships in Phoenix, Arizona. From Muscular Development Radio, I'm Sugar Sean Ray. Peace, and we're out.
You've been listening to MD Radio, a look at the world of bodybuilding and health and fitness. Join Sean Ray again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.